Damn, that sunset is beautiful.
It is.
Wow.
Kind of wish these trees weren't here, but the trees are gorgeous too.
We are on the east side. We're near Brown University. Hugh has no idea where we are.
I have no idea where we are, but I love it.
All right, cool. What are we doing here?
So tell me about what's the topic and the purpose of today's episode.
The topic, I feel like I've been talking to a lot of people about change. And I came across some like old writings and some old pieces that I saved from like other people. And it just felt very fitting. And I saw somewhere it said, yeah, I'm changing. And I just really liked how that came off. And because I feel like I'm in a perpetual state of metamorphosis. And I was thinking about the idea of like people that like change and people that don't. And I feel like I'm someone that like I was telling you earlier, but I'm almost like addicted to change. So I was like thinking about why that is. And because I feel like, you know, the term I've used so much recently is homeostasis. And I think that's good in a sense of finding homeostasis internally, spiritually, mentally. But I think in terms of changing your, not world, world is not the word. Changing your circumstances, changing your opportunities, changing your resources. I feel like, yeah, because now that I say it out loud, I feel like that's what I'm in pursuit of, the changing of all those things that I just said, the aforementioned. And yeah, so I guess that's what we're doing. Why is it important? I think sometimes we get in these little bubbles where we feel like, oh, this little idea that I got in passing doesn't mean that much. And I think only when someone relays something back to us that sometimes we realize its impact. So I remember like my sister, a lot of time, my sister Sabrina, she would quote me on things that I said in the podcast, and I'd be like, wait, I said that? Like, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh wow. I was like, you're listening. And to realize, like, man, like, you never know who is going to take something that to you is just like so like
typical,
just
uninspiring, just a thought.
Yeah, just the thought in passing, but it like really means something to them. So I guess that's what, you know, that's what we're doing here today. And just thinking about all the things, man. How do you feel about change?
You know, I used to hate change. I used to hate it so much because so much of my experience with change was rooted around trauma. Like, you know, a lot of unstabilization and changes in my living situation growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually talking to my therapist recently and how I can't even be around people who can't change. They can't evolve. They can't grow, which is a stark difference from my past relationship with change.
Mm.
Which kind of makes me think, you said you were, knowing you, you very much are obsessed with change.
Yeah, right.
To effect. Has it always been that way for you?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, thank you. Could have just walked. People are so kind when you're recording. I really like that stone wall. Yeah, I think I've always, I guess in a way, when you're thrust into it, like when you're 7 years old, and I don't know what I was wearing, but I picture myself wearing something like a Hawaiian shirt or something like that. But, you know, you get off the plane from West Africa and you land in Logan in at like end of December. And
that's that, like, for you right there.
That culture shock. You get what I'm saying? So it's like it's like, man, whether you're ready for it or not, this is it. This is your world now. But I think because of how, I think because of how my mother describes me when I was younger, that I know that I was always obsessed with change. I was always the moving, like that story that I told about, you know, my mother being in the taxi cab and seeing me with the boys, like, running in my underwear, and she gets out and she's telling the taxi cab driver, like, pull over, that's my son. You know what I mean? Like, I was, or how inquisitive I was, that I was always asking people questions. And I was always asking questions. And she always tells us, like, this guy's named Victor or something like that. And she was like, man, she was like, your son is, she was like, he's like a little journalist or something like that. I forgot what he said, but So I think in a way, like, I was, and who my parents were also, like, I'm, you know, some of my earlier memories of, like, you know, pictures of my father was, like, you know, traveling, and, you know, my mom too, just like moving around, just being, you know, like Oludara's song, in the world, that's Nas's pops. In the world, you know what I'm saying? And moving, shaking. You don't even got time to move your car and you get a ticket. You know what I'm saying? But you know what's funny? One of my top three photographs I've ever taken was right there on the side. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's this guy that's like walking. He has khakis on with a...
This
with
isn't
a
the
blue...
one that's saved on your computer. No,
it was my screensaver for a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was taken right there. That's crazy. I don't even know. Like, I think that was like 2016, 2017 or something like that. But yeah, man. I think it's really cool that, like, you get to see, like, all these, like, my, you know, these places that mean a lot to me. Obviously, I didn't go to Brown.
but you from the
surprise. I didn't go to Brown. but this is like my stomping grounds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times I've walked these streets, and you know, so it's like it's cool. It's cool.
Speaking of change, you know, being someone who was born and raised here, like, how do you feel walking through the same spots you used to be when you were younger? The change now from where you were then to now?
The change? I appreciate it a lot more. Like, I just think, you know, you have that sweatshirt that says New England girls are cozier. And... you know, us Yankees up north in the Northeast, we get a bad rap for being, you know, rude, abrasive, you know, always in a hurry. But I think the best part is, like, once you get to, like, know somebody, like New York especially, like, when you, like, get close enough where someone sees who you are and they open up to you, like, that's one of the best feelings. When, you know what I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. when those people that you don't expect, that have, like, that hard exterior, when they open up to you, I think it's, like, really beautiful. And so I just appreciate it a lot more, and I just want people to, because I feel like one of the things I remember growing up is, like, people really shipping, I'm not gonna swear, but I see shipping on where they're from. And I think it's almost like this natural, like, order where when people are in it's like a fishbowl, right? When you're in a place too long, you just become hostile towards it. And I just feel like, man, like, there's like beauty everywhere. And I think to, like, stop and realize what you have in front of you. Because, like they say, like, you often don't know what you have till it's gone. But I think that's what age is giving me, is And also like other things too, that like making me appreciate the world a bit different, but like, especially where I'm from. Like, I just think, I think New England is great. I think Providence is great. I think Boston is great. I think Maine is great. I think New Hampshire, Vermont, like all these places. And I don't know them as well as like I know around here in Boston and stuff, but I think, yeah, I think people should stop and, you know, care a little bit more. You know, I told you the my favorite part in that movie Amelie, where the French movie Amelie, where, you know, she goes to the movies and during the climactic scenes where she turns around and looks at the audience because she says, you know, she likes to see what nobody else sees. And it's like it's you have this juxtaposition of, you're missing something that you went to go see. So you're missing a beauty that's in front of you, the art that somebody created. But then there's this like living art that's in front of you that she's watching, that no one will ever see, because those expressions that she'll see, no one will ever see that. You know, it's sort of like the, it's sort of like the expression, oh man, that I wanted to get it like, I wanted to get it tatted on me. Oh man, I can't remember right now, but it's a, I think a Japanese term, and it basically means Ichigo Ichi. Ichigo Ichi, duh. And for one time and one time only. So the idea that, no, you know, you could have a group of people that get together day in and day out, same setting, everything, and every situation, every day will be different. Like, no one day will be the same ever.
Every single moment in time is unduplicatable.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah, unduplicatable. Yeah, just like figure-outable. You know what I'm saying? That's a word, right? So, yeah. Man, I feel like you should be right there so I could, like, capture myself, kind of like how I captured dude. Where he was just, like, right here. And he was just like, moving, like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, unduplicatable. Yeah, so I like that. So I guess that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm recording and then bringing other people along, because it's like different, right? Because you and I can have a conversation, but you know, your brain switches in a different way. Like, if the camera's in front of me, it's like how I'd always talk about, like, exalt talk. Like, if you talk to people that, you know how to say, like, you talk down to people that you know are not on your level?
Mm-hmm.
And people do that, like, no slight to any, but people do that. Like, if you're around people that you know, yo, they're here, you're going to meet them there. But if you have people that, you know, you talk to and they meet you spiritually on a certain level, you rise up to meet them there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
people make the mistake of, like, surrounding themselves with yes people, realizing that they're stunting their own growth, because
yeah,
a yes person is going to tell you, nah, how about you look at it this way, or actually try something different since you've been doing it this way all along.
Yeah.
And like, I want people, and I want to be around people that I have to elevate myself to, like, understand,
mm-hmm,
and, like, meet them there. Like, mm-hmm, you want people to meet you higher than where you are.
Yeah. You want people to meet you higher than where you were? Than where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's gold, Jerry. Gold. I'm telling you, everything goes back to Seinfeld or Chappelle Show.
Right? Because they're just mirrors of life.
Yeah, man. Chappelle Show. Yeah.
That kind of got me thinking. Are you a contrarian?
Am I a contrarian? Yeah. I think by nature. You know, I think about, like, you asking me that question, I think about people that are, you know, the, like, pseudo-intellectuals,
mm-hmm,
like, people that, like, you just learned that word and you're trying to apply it, like, versus other people that, man, the way they speak is just, like, Like Jay Electronica, I believe every word he says. Like that's the mark of like, where like every word he says, like there's one of my, not one of, like probably my favorite thing of his is called Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And it's basically, he took, what he did is he took the soundtrack to, I thought this was a one way too. But what he did is he took the soundtrack to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and he basically like recorded over it. You know what I'm saying? He recorded over it, and you have people that at the beginning of it, they, during the introduction, they like, they're talking. It's like Just Blaze, Erykah Badu. It's just them two. And the way Erykah Badu talks about him, because they were in a relationship, they have a child together, but the way Erykah talks about him, she goes, you know, he's peculiarly intelligent, and that he doesn't even look like he looks like some weird alien mythological creature. Mm-hmm. Like his ears are pointy, like, you know, and the way she describes him is just like so beautiful. So like with him, he has this way of rapping, and it's beyond rapping, where it's like, it's just like everything he's telling you, you feel like he's lived. You get what I'm saying?
He has a life to relate to.
Yeah, like it's just so, it's so believable. Now you can walk, through it. Like, everything he says is like so believable. And that's what, like, I know it's like a roundaway to answer that question, but again, this is how I operate. And so the contrarians that I respect, that I feel like I am, is just like, no, like I said earlier, the things that my mom has been telling me since I was a little kid, it's like I always came here to F stuff up, to just be like, why? You know, a lot of kids, they outgrow that. Because a lot of times, you know, the parents like clip their wings or whatever it is, but like
instill their fears into them.
Yeah, but there's people that are like, man, I'm not going. You ain't taking this from me. You get what I'm saying? It's just like, man, like no way. And yeah, everything. I'm just like, why? Like, why can't we do that? Why not? I told you what I want to do with that couch. And then it's just like, my mom was like, oh, when, and I'm like, but it won't leave me. And I'm like,
I'm now like, you gotta cut the legs, like, off the couch.
I think, yo, that's a deep metaphor right there.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta cut the legs off to see what it is.
All right, so I got some rapid fire questions for you.
All right, cool.
All right, what's your favorite thing to do for your mental health?
Work out. Lift weights, play basketball, and probably number one is like talk to people.
So exercise, moving your body, and talking to people.
Yeah, and actually music too. I can't slight music. Music is like, yeah. I think because I've gone through stretches of like not listening to music in the last like several years, like a lot. Like I have spent so many hours listening to like audio stuff, like podcasts and whatnot, that I grew tired of like music, but especially like hip-hop, because I just felt like it was so stale and stagnant that like everything just kind of like
mumble rap. If it's all started to sound the same.
Yeah, and this is the thing too, it's like, man, like I'm the person, like I always hated being in the barbershop and, you know, listening to those guys that are like, I remember rap once, like, yo, I'm not that dude. Like, I can, like, when something's good, like, I can make you a mixtape of Lil Uzi's best songs. Like, I can make you a tape of, like, Cardi. And I'm not even super big on Uzi like that, but I do like Cardi. And there's people that feel like, man, that's not music. But I'm like, I'm like, nah, because you got to understand, like, there's things that come along that transcend it. And rap is about style. It's not, a lot of times it's not, even the people that are really saying something, like Nas came on in the scene, you know, Streets Disciple, my raps a trifle, I shoot slugs with my brain just like a rifle, stampede the stage, I leave the microphone split, play Mr. Tuffy while I'm on some pretty, like, that's just straight, this dude's 17, where you have Cardi that's just like, you know, and Hood by Ear, he's like, what he said, since I was, he said, I've been an OG since I was younger. All my friends are dead. Leave them in the cold tundra. Like, it sounds so simple. It's nothing, but it's just the way you say it. And also, like, it's sometimes there's certain songs you can only feel like in the club or in this, and you hear it and you be like, I didn't even like it. But then you hear it in a different environment. Mm. That's what rap is like in the 80s, 90s. Yo, we had Public Enemy. We had Salt and Pepper. We had Kool Moe Dee, L, Kool J, MC Light, Queen Latifah. We had all these people that checked all these boxes off. And my gripe with hip hop and rap, because I care about it so much, is the fact that, you know, a lot of times it's like movies, like when one does well, and then the next year, 2 years, you'll see so many of those movies come out and they look just like that one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the part of it that I hate, because it's like, no, Cardi does that thing that he does, so that's why he is that big. Even if someone may not understand it, and I'm not here to be like, yo, this is amazing, because you're gonna hear it and be like, it's trash, and that's cool, and that's fine. But it's also like, for the people that do get it, like, there's kids that, like how I was with like Nas and Big and Pac, like, there are kids that are listening to Cardi and Uzi and like some of these dudes that are like, they're that to them. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't, like, we can't just like talk down on them, because it's like, man, like,
it's not something we like.
We were talking about recently when we're like, yo, every generation, we said something, it was just like, but every generation feels like their generation, they were going through something that, like,
no one else went through.
Mm-hmm. This is the hardest generation ever. Like, what were
this
happening?
Is the most unprecedented times.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So for me, like, that's how I look at it. Cause like, I don't feel like I listen to music like just a regular rap head. Like, there are people that like only listen to rap, and it's just like, yo, again, I thank God for my parents for that. Thank God for my father for that. Like, I grew up listening to, in my house, it was just like everything. It was just like, but mainly the artists that like really stood out was like James Brown, Michael Jackson, of course, Bob Marley, and like the artist Enigma. Man, who else? Like, just so, like, too many to count, but too many to count. Like, that's how my love of music, like, not when Nas talked about, like, you know, going through his father's like record collection, going through the crate and developing his you know, his music taste, like, that's like that legit, like, was me. So like, when I listen to some of these things, it's not like I'm listening to it, it's just like, oh, it's just, I'm listening, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just like, it's, so I guess that's the part of like this podcast, like, or even with this, yeah, I'm changing and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you change through the years, you get older and stuff like that, but you know, you can still hear the beauty in things. It doesn't have to be like, and a lot of people, I think that's what it is. Like, people sell themselves short. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like they take on this this motif of like previous generations, where like they get to a certain point where they feel like, you know, they can't enjoy something anymore, they can't do something anymore. And you know, that's something I would always tell you. I'm like, man, people love to get together and talk about like the good old days and talk about like, yeah, and I'm just like,
there's time and space for that, but then especially now it's like, well, let's make new memories, let's do something new.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like, damn, like, I know he's going through a lot right now and everything like that. That's, you know, conversation for another day. But again, like, it's, you know, they're very difficult because he's given me so many things that like do mean a lot to me. When Ye, one time he was talking about how he was like, yo, you know how people be like, yo, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray for you. And he was like, you know you can do something too, right? He was like, you can actually do something. And I always stay with me because, like, that's the truth. Like, people be acting like, oh, I'm going to just leave it in God's hands. Well, what happened to God's help? Helps those who help themselves too, you know what I mean?
Words are very pretty. They're very convenient. But action?
Yeah.
That's another story.
And you know what example comes to mind? When someone sent you a boot when you messed up your ankle.
Right? Right? Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sending you well wishes. Well, someone actually sent me a boot. Someone actually sent me something to help me get better. Like, do something if you really care.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can keep your words. Because no one knows that you was going to say something and you didn't. It's almost easier to be silent than it is to put the facade up.
Yeah, for real.
That you care, quote unquote.
Yeah, right? Because I think that's a lot of it, too. It's just like, man, it's like... this, like, pseudo-sympathy.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, you don't really care. If you cared, you would have pulled up. If you cared, you would have been lifting these couches with me.
Right. Sending me an Uber Cares packet. You know, actions, small actions to say, to tell someone they act. That you actually care.
Yeah.
So good. See, it don't taste like this in a cup, like in a to-go cup. It's different. It's different.
I gotta taste mine to see.
All right, you give me that. We'll turn it around. You wanna try yours?
Okay. Maybe.
How you feel about it?
No, I need golden milk. This one is particularly creamy though. I appreciate it.